Then we're going to dive into the final message of our series. I know I told you last week was the last of the series, but this one actually is the last. So please join me as we pray. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to connect with a group of people who, though we are in different places, are together in one spirit. And I invite you to remind us of the importance of the gifts that are given to us each day and how important it is for us to not only receive them, but to open and engage them. Help us to make the most of this time that remains. And in advance, we'll give you thanks for what is done. In Christ we pray. Amen. So I want you to think about some of the best gifts that you have ever been given. Some of the best gifts you've ever received in your life. It might have been a Christmas gift, or maybe it was a birthday gift. Maybe it was for some special celebration, an anniversary or a graduation. The gift could have been given in your childhood, or it could have come as recently as this past week. I want you to think about some of the best gifts that you've ever been given and why it is that that was such an important gift. Okay. Now, as you think of those things, I want to take a moment and just gain a sense of what shape some of those gifts have taken in your life. So if you're willing and able to share, just hit your mute button and share like what came to mind when you think about one of the gifts, one of the best gifts, or one of the gifts that were memorable to you and why. Anybody have anything come to mind? Go ahead, Daisy.
Yeah, we were given the gift of a trip. And so for me, it was the experience. That was the gift of the experience, really. Not how much it cost or how little or how much, but the experience itself.
Great, thank you. Anybody else?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
Not this past birthday, but the birthday before was my four-year-old granddaughter singing happy birthday to me. And it was just so full of love and innocence. It was so touching.
Yeah, thank you, Janice. Appreciate that.
On my birthday last year, my husband bought me like a Samsung tablet. Because I had been wanting one for school, and it was one of the best gifts I've ever received because it's helped me so much in school to consolidate all the information, keep everything in one place. I can take it anywhere. It's small enough that I can carry it anywhere, but it's big enough I can write on it. So it's like the perfect gift, and it's been so useful.
Thanks, Rebecca. Yeah, go ahead, Natasha.
I'll say one of my favorite gifts was one of my kids had some tickets. Most parents know that, you know, they're given a reward and they were allowed to go to this store. And my kid chose to get something for me, like a necklace that said mom on it. And, you know, obviously she could have picked something for herself. And it just meant a lot that she picked it out for me. So the selflessness of the gift meant a lot.
Thank you. Sometimes it's the gift, and sometimes it's what the gift represents above what it is. Yeah. Now, all of you did not participate, but I would hope that all of you could remember over the course of your life at some point where you got a gift and it really moved you in some way. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment whatever the gift was that you got, that you appreciated, that you enjoyed, that was so special. I want you to imagine for a moment if you never would have received it, or if you received it, but you never unwrapped or opened it. I want you to think about the fact that all of the gifts that you've been given over the course of your life, if you were given those gifts, but you never actually opened them. It seems silly, but in a very real way, a lot of times it's the gifts that we don't engage that we miss out on the most, and we don't even really realize it when we do. I say all that just to say that today we come to the end of a season. We put a bow on our summer series called The Gift of a Sacred Summer. And every single week over the course of the past 10 weeks, we were offered a particular special gift, a specific practice that was designed to help each of us connect with God in a deeper, more meaningful way. And so my question to you is, over the course of the summer, did you take the time to open each of the gifts that were given to you? Did you open them all? Did you open some of them? Did you open any of them? Truth of the matter is, I ask this not to induce guilt if you didn't, but I ask you the question because if you haven't yet opened one of these gifts, there actually is still time. And if you choose to do so, it may well be the gift that you unwrap that actually changes your life. Because each of these gifts, inherent in each of these gifts, is the capacity to literally change lives. So what I want to do over the course of our remaining time together is just walk through each of the gifts that you were given. And as we reflect on it, I just want you to think about, did I open this gift? Did I engage this gift, or is this gift still waiting for me to unwrap? Now, we began the series with a gift, the gift of rest, the gift of rest. In Exodus chapter 20, we looked at the top 10, and of the top 10, there was only one of the great commandments given to us that had at the very beginning to remember. It goes like this. It says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The only reason that it says to remember to observe is because more often than not, we forget and we don't. Of all of the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses, observing the Sabbath is the only one that has remember in front of it. And I don't know, you may not have been there, but if you were, I challenged you to take the entire month of July and to carve out one day every week. And if you couldn't carve out a day, a block of time where you would honor the Sabbath, where you would slow down intentionally, rest, and remember. Remember to delight in your life and in the fruits of your labor. And to stop long enough to give thanks for the wonder of it all. To renew, to restore, to revive your weary soul. I told you in particular that this gift is particularly well-suited for those who are tired, worn out, stressed out, anxious, nervous, sad. And I bet invariably, if I asked you how many of you guys were those things, if I asked you to raise your hand and tell me, on most Sundays, I would get half to three quarters of the group telling me that you were one of those things. And so my question is rest a gift that's still being waiting, is still waiting to be opened? Is it still sitting under your tree? Is it still waiting to be unwrapped? Or have you committed yourself to intentionally setting aside time to renew and revive and restore your soul? That was gift number one. Gift number two was solitude and silence. Anybody remember the last time that you intentionally made time for being alone with what's real in your life? To celebrate the joys, to grieve the losses, to shed tears, to sit with your questions, to feel your anger, to attend to your loneliness, and to invite God to be with you in the midst of what is real and for waiting for him to do what is most needed in you. Oftentimes, the gift of solitude and silence helps us to see ourselves more truly as we are, to hear God's voice and experience his presence in ways that wouldn't be possible if we didn't. When's the last time you made time to be alone with what's real in your life? That's the gift of solitude and silence. Gift number three, Lorraine unwrapped for us the gift of play. I think play oftentimes is underrated as a spiritual practice. We don't oftentimes see it as connected to our health and spiritual well-being, but it is, because it's one of the unique ways that God keeps us from taking ourselves too seriously. Play is not just for children. It's for big children too. And I wonder, when's the last time that you actually created space in your busy life to play? Some of you guys won't even remember when or how or what you would even like to play if you could. And that's sad to me. As we grow older, play is so significant. And it's one of the unique ways that God helps us to not take ourselves so seriously. Gift number four was the gift of love. Given that love is the sum of God's commandments, the greatest of all virtues, and the distinguishing mark of Jesus' disciples, I wonder, do all of our family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers know that we don't just appreciate them, but we actually really, truly love them? By grace, we demonstrate our love for others as we sacrifice ourselves for the best interest of each other. I wonder, when's the last time that you gave or received this most precious gift? One of the ways we give love is by extending kindness. It's by taking something. It's not just saying the words, it's doing something practically in a way that notices one another. And that oftentimes takes us to a place where we have to sacrifice some of our own time, some of our own energy, some of our own resources. I wonder, over the course of this past week, if you unwrapped the gift, or if you gave the gift, or if it's still waiting to be given or received. Gift number five, on no less than 143 different occasions in both the Old and New Testament, the case of justice for all is made over and over again. We are to do justice because we are created in the image of a just and loving God who desires that his creation flourish, all of his creation, and bear witness in the here and the now to the ultimate just society that is to come. We are to give the gift of justice wherever it is needed. And I wonder if there is some area of injustice that you're engaged in yet, or if the gift of justice is still waiting for you to open it. There's so many places. You know, one of the things I remember saying that week is we don't equally care, all of us, about everything. But all of us should care about something, whether it's race relations or whether it's poverty or hunger or homelessness or addiction or mental health challenges. There are areas of our life and our world where people deal day after day with great injustices. And the way in which God gets at righting what is wrong is by using people like yourself and myself to have our hearts broken and care enough to take intentional action in areas where there's injustice. For until there's justice for all of us, there's no justice for any of us. Is it a gift you've unwrapped? Is it a gift that you've given? Or is it still waiting for you to engage? Gift number six was the gift of nature. God's handiwork reveals to us not only his beauty and glory and power, his presence and creativity, but maybe perhaps most of all, his loving care. It helps connect us with our Creator and his loving presence among us. And the best way that we honor the Creator in this gift is by both enjoying and protecting creation. When's the last time that you stopped and looked and listened and touched and smelled and tasted and enjoyed the fruits of God and the gift that is wrapped around you every single day in His creation? When's the last time that you noticed the symphony that is going on and being sung around you every day when you open your door? Have you heard the birds or the cicadas? Have you heard the grasshoppers? Have you seen the sunset or the sunrise? Have you appreciated the gift of nature and enjoyed it to the full? And have you done your part as a good steward of the earth to protect that which is dying, that which is being ignored, that which is being trashed? I told you that the best way to give and receive this gift is to enjoy, but also to preserve, to protect, and to care for the beauty of the creation that's been entrusted to your stewardship. And then there was gift number 7, the gift of gratitude. We are grateful in all things because all of life is a gift. The gift of gratitude doesn't make our problems go away. It just recasts them in a different light, gives it a different perspective. As we open our hands to release the pain that we receive, we also open our hands to experience the hundreds of unexpected gifts that God gives to us each day. I told you that the practice of beginning my day by writing down the 3 or more things that I was grateful for from the previous day has changed my life, because it's changed the way that I've looked at my life. It's changed the way that I looked at my world. We don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. And if we're grateful, as we cultivate that gratitude, we find joy. If we're lacking joy, it might be because we're not practicing gratitude. It might be because we're not engaging gratitude. It might be because we're not opening that gift. When's the last time you opened the gift of gratitude and engaged it in a meaningful way? And then there was the gift of creation. It reminds us that we are all creative geniuses, crafted in the image and likeness of the one who fashioned the sun and the moon and the stars and the humpback whale and the labradoodle. In His image, in the image of our wonderful Creator, we were created to create that which is good and beautiful and inspiring. And it could be literally with any raw materials that we have. Because you and I have the capacity, believe it or not, to imagine a world that we've never seen, a life we've never lived, a person we've never become, and materialize that reality from nothing. We can create something from nothing. And when we create, it pleases God because we are reflecting His image to the rest of the world. And when God sees us in this creative process, He looks at it and He calls it very good. But sometimes, you see, we just forget that we are both a work of art and artist at work. And I wonder, what creative gift have you been opening these days? What creative gift have you been engaging these days? With your mind, with your hands, with your feet, with your heart. And then there was gift number 9, the gift that nobody wants, but everyone needs. Almost a third of our Psalms, 42 of them to be exact, are Psalms of lament. And what they teach us is that in the places of our pain and deep loss, that one of the best things, most counterintuitive things we can do is to actually turn towards our pain and feel it rather than turn away from it, to open up rather than shut down, and to invite God into the painful space that exists rather than wall Him out. Over the course of the past 18 months or so, we have all experienced so many losses. But it is one thing to experience loss, and it is another thing to grieve them. When we busy ourselves to distraction, when we try not to think about our losses, when we numb ourselves to our pain, that is not grieving. That is avoiding. Grieving is required for those who experience loss. It is hard work. It's not the gift that we want, but it's the gift that all of us these days need. Have we opened the gift? And are we actually receiving the healing that comes with grieving well? Or are we still trying to distract ourselves and numb our pain? And then finally, last week, the final gift of the summer was the gift of disagreement. And the idea is that we are born and then reborn and recreated to reflect the life of Jesus, to bear the fruit of his life and ours, especially in the places where it is so difficult to do so. Because you and I actually can hold in our hearts a sense of what we believe to be right, and at the same time make space for loving those who oppose us. We can respect the worth and dignity of the person we disagree with, even if their views often leave us dumbfounded and even appalled. The gift of disagreement is so needed today. But part of our unwrapping it will occur when we decide what we wear each day, what item of our wardrobe we put on. Because we can be kind or not. We can be patient or not. We can be gentle or not. We can be forgiving. We can bear with one another. We can love one another or not. The gift of disagreement is so greatly needed in a world in which hard lines are drawn and harsh things are spoken. Have you opened that gift? Have you opened that gift and engaged it in a time and in a place where you were finding yourself wanting to do everything you possibly could to resort to a different kind of gift, to give back eye for eye, tooth for tooth what someone gave you? Or have you opened that gift and engaged it in such a way that you gave someone not what they deserve, but what they needed? Well, those were the 10 gifts. Those were the gifts of the summer. That was our focus. And I hope that you are better people for it. But understand, if these are gifts that you've not yet opened, not yet unwrapped, not yet engaged, that these are gifts that keep on giving as you unwrap them and engage them. I hope out of the 10, if there's one or two that spoke to you in particular, that you would consider this week what it would mean to actually unwrapping and opening and engaging those gifts in a way that not only would help you to find union and oneness with your Creator, but that would help you to better live out of the design for which you were created for, and to create a better world in which we live. I say that for your sake. I say that for our collective sake. And I say that for God's sake in this world. These gifts are sorely needed. And I hope that as you unwrap them, that they will change your life. Shall we pray? Father, sometimes the gifts that we are given, we don't really realize how important they are until we engage them in a personal way. I pray that the seeds that have been sown over the previous 10 weeks, that they would find rich soil to fall in. And whether it be rest or solitude or silence or play or love or justice or nature or creation or gratitude or grief or disagreement, that each of these gifts would be meaningful and personalized in such a way that it would be life-changing for us and for those we love and for those whom we are trying to love. in the days to come. Help us to make the most of the time that we have while we have it, for we have one life to live. Let us do so with the best that we have, that your kingdom would come and your will be done in our life as it is in the heavens. In Christ we pray. Amen.